Welcome back, Trent Luce. Second segment, Roll Route with Matt Cover. We'll pick it up where we left off.
You know, just a testament to the cattle market here in the recent couple, two, 3 years is, you know, there's nothing good that comes out of a fire, and this isn't even touching on the fire, but this would be a totally different story if everyone were broke right now. Now, everyone's in the cattle business has probably, you know, a little more change in their pocket than they'd used to. So that's one good thing that we're blessed with is this cattle market.
What are you pointing at?
Well, we haven't seen any smoke all day, but see kind of a plume of smoke on the horizon to the south down there now. That's where, to the south on the Rex Ranch, they have really taken a beating down there in the last 2 weeks. And, you know, they own a large chunk of that south of the highway here, all the way towards Oshkosh, basically. They pray for those people, the Rex Ranch. They have taken an absolute beating.
I was told today that over 550,000 acres burned in Garden County.
Yeah.
And it's estimated by some locals, it's not statistical, but estimated that half of that would have been either the Rex Ranch or someone affiliated with the Mormon Church.
Yeah, that's probably not far off. You know, and it's just tough to see, and I know they've gotten a lot of those cattle out of there. It's tough to see anybody take that kind of beating, but when you look at as a whole, that fire, it really did nail them.
Yeah.
Really bad. But so many of the family owned places in between there that are smaller places, that, you know, they lost every blade of grass, every bale of hay. That's where it really hurts.
And it's one thing to lose hay, but when you lose your hay supply and you know that you're not going to graze anything this year,
Yeah. You're
hoping that you can graze something next year. You're looking at the need of a supply of hay that you've never had to have before.
Yeah, it's just astronomical, and we've seen a lot of hay being donated. I mean, we could be pushing 300 loads by now between the handful of us that are all placing a lot of this hay. Paul Cleveland has done the brunt of this. He deserves all of the thanks. But, you know, between a handful of us, we could be pushing 300 loads by now, which is an astronomical amount of hay, but do the math.
Yeah.
And look at, you know, we're still the end of March here. We've got a ways to go. And
well,
it's still got to rain also.
I heard of one guy that lost 2,500 tons.
Yeah.
That's a big pile.
Yeah.
And 300 loads just gets it started.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Matt, when you're talking about hundreds, we're talking literally hundreds of ranches. You can see hay trucks coming in, and it's a wonderful thing. But I just want to put it in the context that it's just a blip on what is going to the needs going to be.
Yep. Yeah. And we've started to see, you know, the hay has been, we've just seen an incredible amount of support for this whole deal. You know, something that we're starting to maybe turn some focus to, and we're starting to see some different donations in the form of whether it be tubs, protein tubs, you know, trying to, you know, get a little more bang for your buck.
Right.
So there's that, and you know, something else that, you know, these family-owned outfits that have lost everything or all of their summer grass, and we're trying to figure out what to do. The one problem is, yes, we can get cattle gone. There's other places for cattle to go, whether they be grazing pivots or whatever. You know, there's options. But the tough thing is, mentally, these people still have to live in their homes in the middle of the Sahara Desert, essentially. That is such a depressing thing. And I know countless places we've been on these fires, and, you know, you go to the fire and you get it all out, and everyone leaves. And we saw this with the tornado as well, that kind of the what we call the fun wears off. And so these people, they find themselves in about a month truly getting into it and truly starting to feel what a new normal looks like. And then these people will have a depressing outlook. Yeah, I mean, their home should be their sanctuary, but their home is now situated in the middle of a sand dune.
Why does the fire go around that windmill like that?
So it goes around the windmill for, you know, basically that right around there is just kind of an intensely, I don't even mean grazed, but, you know, in the summertime, those cattle are standing around there, you know, stomping flies. They're always coming into that to drink water. So it won't hold the grass as well. So it burnt around that because there simply wasn't a whole lot to burn right there around these windmills. And you, a lot of these summer pastures on the flats burn kind of slower because they've been grazed a little bit harder. Now when the fire's rolling through these hills and in through that older grass, it really rolls. So this, we were up on the south side on this hill fighting the fire, probably, I would guess, at 2 a.m. I don't even know what day it is, Trent. 2 a.m. a couple nights ago.
Today's Friday.
And we got stuck behind that fire and the wind just totally changed. Probably was blowing 50, 60 mile an hour when it wasn't supposed to be when you look at your weather apps. And it was rolling to the northeast towards our pastures and towards the town of Ashby. And we all just took faith in that, you know, boy, we hope that highway will stop it. And granted, it had to stop cross the highway, and it also had to cross two sets of railroad tracks. My mother, there's a cell tower up on this hill behind us, and she was sitting up there all night and was keeping an eye on kind of dispatching basically and figuring out where we were and where the fire was. And she hollered at us on the radio and she said it crossed, and so we were stuck behind the fire and trying to get across the tracks to be able to put it out on our summer pasture. We got really lucky that it didn't get into that big hill, and these fires recently were just at the mercy of the winds. We just happened to get lucky and God took care of us that it pushed it east. Now when it went up and over that sandy hill, it went another probably mile and a half or 2 miles north, and the wind switched it. We were grateful for the wind change because it kept most of our ground safe, but the problem is it pushed it back on top of the town of Ashby, and they took a large beating.
The town was under evacuation. Did it evacuate?
Well, it was. In my technical terms, it was, but everything happened so fast. I know my sister-in-law, they live on a place north of Ashby, about 10, 12 miles. And my brother, her husband, was down here. We were fighting this fire over here on the south side. And everyone's kind of in tune with what's going on, and Crystal was able to come down to Ashby, and they were knocking on doors, getting people up out of their beds and to it, and nobody was aware.
Shortest train in America, right?
That's
there.
The shortest one you'll ever see here.
That would have been a rude wake-up call. But thankful that somebody come to let me know. How much fence do you think has been destroyed?
The fence, I don't know that a lot of people don't have a grasp on it yet.
Yes.
We haven't had time, and this only happened to us a couple days ago. But a lot of us still haven't had time to get out and really see, you know. When we get back home from fighting fires, we're back in calving mode, and you know, and this is just kind of a live to die another day deal.
A lot of the fire in places, I think, you know, looking at this fence, we're going to be fine. But a lot of the fire in places where it did burn fast when that wind was really pushing it, it for the bulk of it's going to stay fine. But, you know, there's a lot of, there will be a lot of miles. I mean, I wouldn't know what to guess.
And I think, if depending on whether you do the work yourself or you hire it done, and if you do the work yourself, your time costs something because you're not doing something else on a ranch. The going rate can be between 10,000 and 15,000 a mile.
Yeah.
A mile. Easily. Depending on what kind of post you use.
Yeah, no, we're looking at a lot of infrastructure that'll need to be replaced in our parts of the world. Whether it be fences, people's homes, outbuildings. Up here on the outskirts of Ashby, there was three or four houses that were lost, and you know, many, many outbuildings, and you know, that's those people's whole property. I think on us, all we got extremely lucky. I think all we lost was two or three sections of grass, so we got very lucky. You know, that's just a small section of us that we can manage. But what we do have left, it's still got to rain.
I just got to remind everybody that two sections is 1,200 acres on a normal year. If you had a 1,200 acre fire. You would think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Now we're thankful that we only lost 1,200 acres.
Yeah. You know, and even these fires, the Ashby fire and the Minor fire, you know, 60, 70,000 acres on one, and Minor fire, I think, you know, was 20 to 30. You know, it's, everything's relative, right?
It is.
And after the last couple of weeks, it's like, well, okay, you know, maybe we've got those under control, and that's not, it's not a big deal, sad to say.
There will be no grazing on that this year.
Definitely not this year. Especially on the Morrill fire out, you know, south, but I mean, it's out in, there's ground out there that is in the boonies, and out in there, that ground that nobody sees and nobody really, well, everyone forgets about, there's parts of the Sandhills Trent, you know, that there's parts that are pretty hard,
yep,
and there's parts that are really rough and soft, and there's some parts out in that Morrill fire that burn that are really soft, and if we don't start to get some moisture or some progress on it now, we could easily be looking in 2 years. Very easily, the cattle have to stay off. This ground that burnt on us, we were fortunate that, you know, right where we're at here, I know you'll agree, Trent, this is, for Sandhills, this is very hard ground on these flats. Now, you get into that hill, that's kind of a soft hill, but the flats here, for the most part, are pretty hard. So this will heal pretty well, but we will not be able to be on this coming summer at all.
Matt, one of the things that I want to accomplish in this carnage, I'm going to call it, is that we've had this negative sentiment spring about on cows and the environment. We're going to have the opportunity to explain to folks just how beneficial man managing a ruminant animal truly is.
Yeah.
Because we've taken for granted. You go back and you look at pictures of this land 150 years ago, and you don't see the cover. You don't see the fires. Well, first of all, they had smaller fires, more regular, but you don't see the desert effect that we did back in those before 1900. And that's because man and animal working together has improved these sand hills to be the great cow producing region that it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, the way the wind has been this winter, it, and after that Morrill fire down in those soft places, it makes a guy wonder, and don't get me wrong, like, we won't lie to you, that root system is still there. You know, in the sand hills, we know are fragile, yet they're pretty resilient. But when those dunes and those hills kind of get back active, dunes, you know, that those root systems can't push grass through 3 foot of a sand drift. So there's going to be some issues there. You know, this will perk up and be pretty green this summer.
I got to tell you, in Morrill County this morning, I saw a tremendous number of ditches that was already blown full of sand.
Yep. It's going to be, and especially if it doesn't rain, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens.
Interesting is one word. Another thing I want to add, that you mentioned that we have a little money in our pocket this year because of cattle prices. We finally had a year where we felt like we could catch up.
Absolutely.
And to suffer losses in a year where you know you're in a position to catch up, it works on you mentally.
Yeah, and you know, and like I said, that our part of the world here, we've been immune to herd reduction, so it's really allowed a lot of these people, you know, look at the demographics of ag. I mean, these older people or these older folks, no offense to anybody, but they've finally made some money.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, for a year or two, they finally make some money. And then year three, they're looking at having to drastically downsize or think of some alternative options.
All right, we'll continue on the move here on Cover Ranches in Grant County, Nebraska. More after this.
Are you dealing with arthritis?